Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life, Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.
What's up, Loudmouths? This is Ivan Moody from the one and only Five Finger Death Punch. Just letting you know we are coming to Kentucky for the Louder Than Life, September 30th and October 1st. If you don't have your tickets yet, you better get them before it's sold out. The Louder Than Life Festival. I'll see you there. LouderThanLifeFestival.com.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at WittenRadio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by film director John Ware. John is talking about his newest film, Unbridled. John, how's it going?
Going good, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So I'm super excited to talk with you about some of the work that you do. You've got this incredible resume, and you've done a lot of filmmaking. And what's very iconic about your style of filmmaking is that you do it from a standpoint of, like, ministry. I mean, you're seeking to change the world, you know, one person at a time with the films that you create. Tell me a little bit about how you first became involved with the world of film.
Well, I always was interested in media and, you know, I was always the kid in kindergarten who was out in the hall making a roller movie, you know, which is like a couple of the inside, the paper towel with, you know, paper stretched across and advance it one frame at a time in a shoebox. And I made, you know, movies that young, which were, you know, really just stories in a shoebox, you know, you advance these things in a shoebox, stick them in the shoebox, and the paper rolls across the front of it one frame at a time. And I was doing that, and, you know, I went to school at Miami University, Oxford, Ohio, for film production, and graduated and pretty much cut my teeth doing training films on for the Ohio State Highway Patrol. And at one point, I just kind of ran out of options in Ohio as far as what I wanted to do, and off to California. And, you know, it's been a long journey, but, you know, I just directed my first feature film and done a lot of shorts. And it's been, you know, really an exciting journey, and I've been able to help a lot of other people start to realize their dreams too with some of the work I do with 168 Film, which is it's a filmmaking contest based on scripture. And we've made about 1,100 films in 15 years, short films, and for a seed contest, people get basically a theme, a verse, and a week to do a short film up to 11 minutes. And we just had our film festival, and it was great. We had a lot of stars, like T.C. Stallings, who starred in my film Unbridled, and Corey Oliver from God's Not Dead, and just lots and lots of filmmakers, red carpet. It was amazing.
Absolutely. Tell me about 168 Films. What led to its creation? What inspired you, or what was the catalyst to start 168 Films?
Well, it actually started at a church, and you know, I had started leading an entertainment fellowship, and we just were listening to some of our people saying, you know, that how they were going to do this, they were going to do that, and nobody was really getting it done. And so, you know, we made a contest kind of loosely based on the 48-hour. We didn't feel like that was enough time. 48 hours from project is basically a speed scramble, and we wanted to give people time to do something legitimate and resume building in their career. And so we did the math, like 7 times 24, and it was 168, which, I don't know, nobody like heard of that number. It's like it's been hiding until I got here. But 168 hours in a week, you know, 604,800 seconds is a little unwieldy. That's a week in seconds. But 168, that's like actually a lucky number for the Chinese, if you didn't know that. That's like one of the numbers that's considered lucky. So I don't know what that means. But anyway, we, you know, started doing the steps necessary to get 168 off the ground. And, you know, the first year there were 13 films and really, you know, standing room only crowd in a little chapel there at Bel Air Presbyterian Church. And, you know, it was just a hit from the get-go. And, you know, the second year we had 53 films, and Martha Williamson, who's actually the executive producer of Touched by an Angel and many other TV shows, but she executive produced a film that actually won the competition, and that was Max back in 2004. So we've seen you know, quite a few famous people come through and star in our films. Eric Estrada, Judge Reinhold, even a guy named Ron Jeremy was in a film. He's a porn star, actually, but you know, the guy wanted to make a kind of send him an olive branch. So they put him in a film, and you know, we're excited about stuff like that. The joke was there's two pastors, you know, and this was a comedy. These were a bunch of comedians. They did a film called Curb Your Evangelism. And so the joke was the one pastor standing there talking to another pastor, Ron Jeremy, walks by, and he's like, "Oh, hi, man, how you doing?" He's smiling and smiling. He's like, "You know, that is, I love that guy. I love his stuff." And the other pastor is like, "What? What? What are you talking about? You know who that is?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash." Ron Jeremy vaguely resembles David Crosby. So. It was kind of humorous, but I'm sure there were some nervous people in the room when it was screened.
Well, that, you know, that's the beautiful thing of the gospel, you know. It's, you know, you're supposed to preach it to everybody, you know, and I guess one's lifestyle or profession shouldn't dictate, you know, you extending an olive branch, you know, as you said before. So it's, I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure, like you said, a lot of eyebrows were raised, but I think that the fact that you, you know, you did that speaks volumes of the work that you do, so definitely kudos.
Well, we tell the filmmakers, you know, tell your story, but don't drag my audience through the mud. You know, I don't want to see gratuitous sex, violence, and violence. And so we don't have that. And we don't typically have people that are being late either, because, you know, we have laid down that law. And 1 year we had, you know, quite a few people that were late with their films. They weren't eligible for awards. You know, I mean, we're talking late by seconds, you know.
Oh, wow.
And you if you're a speed film, timed speed film competition, you have to uphold your rules. It's not about grace at that point. This is about integrity. You know, you can say, this is the deadline. 11 o'clock on Tuesday is the deadline. And if they're 1 second late, no award. If they're one frame over that, you know, 11 minutes maximum total runtime, no awards. And we have, you know, cut people off for, you know, as little as half a second, you know. I mean, there's some wiggle room with the difference between drop frame and non-drop frame video, where you can give a cushion there, but, you know, that's all very technical, and you know, at the end of the day, now people know, yeah, they are serious about that. They don't give any wiggle room, and so they set their timer, you know, they put a frame at the end of the timeline at 11 minutes that says end or whatever they do, and then they don't cross over that, and we don't have a problem. So, I mean, if you just enforce your rules once, people will get it, believe me.
Yeah, absolutely. Who is eligible to enter this competition? Are there any, I guess, prerequisites or requirements that person...
No, they pay the entry fee. Entries are open right now at 168film.com, and it's $168 to enter your team, and you just go and sign up, and you will be told what to do at that point.
Okay. And you, so tell me a little bit about the process. So you pick a scripture, and then the film has to do with that scripture, correct?
Well, there's several different ways to enter our competition. The speed film competition is the one where we pick the scripture for you, and that's randomly drawn. The new theme is power. And, that, you know, that's going to be where we pick a lot of scriptures that have to do with the theme of power. Power can be used for good things. It can be used for bad things. So we will have the speed films are on a rigid schedule, and they shoot in May, and then they turn in May or June. And they have 7 days, no more, to shoot and edit. They have 10 days pre-production. And that's, you know, because we want the films to be watchable. So we give them some pre-production time. And then there's a bunch of non-speed film types. For repeat filmmakers, there's the Alumni Challenge. And they get 12 minutes. We have the Rite of Passage Spotlight Films, and those are based on our screenwriting competition, which I'll tell you about a little bit more in a second. There's documentaries, there's kid vids, which are five-minute films for younger audiences, animations, music videos, virtual reality, and then we have a category for behind-the-scenes and making of 168 documentaries. Those entries are all non-speed, so you could start making your film today after you register, if you wanted to, on one of those categories. The Rite of Passage is a really exciting, and it's been a really vibrant new expansion category for us, and that's basically a writing category for short subjects in its ninth year. And basically, again, they get a theme, a verse, and a week to write 12 pages instead of making a film. And it's not intimidating at all. Plus, you get a mentor, one mentor for six writers. And so you submit your first draft to the mentor, and they judge it, they grade it, and give you notes, and you rewrite. And then the winner of that competition gets $500 cash, and then the biggest prize, though, is a lot of those films get made into, a lot of those scripts get made into films, and, you know, they're they're taken from, you know, sometimes hundreds of entries. And so we definitely get some of our best films from the Rite of Passage competition. And that's, it goes in October, and entries are open now at 168film.com. And we definitely recommend this for not just beginner writers, but all kinds of writers have really benefited from doing this. And as I said, the best benefit is the potential of someone saying, hey, I want to make your script for the competition. And it's just a really cool way. The other thing that we do with the Rite of Passage scripts is make them available to school kids. So that, you know, a lot of times, you know, story is, let's face it, that's the hardest thing to get right, because you're creating the world, which is, you know, it's most godlike to create a world and create it, period. So the story is the tough part. And with school kids, you know, if you just want to have them concentrate on filmmaking, let's just give them a story. Say, here's a good story to tell. You guys make the story. And then, you know, I assure you it'll be less painful in some ways for the people watching it, you know, because the story is tough. And young screenwriters, you know, for them to get a good story to tell, that's really more than half the battle.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you find that there's a lot of filmmakers that they try to skip over good writing and replace it with, like, good shots and good cinematography? Do you find that a lot of filmmakers, I guess a lot of new filmmakers, try to substitute those things for good writing?
Well, I mean, it's not an exclusive thing. It's not either or. It's basically, everybody's trying to get the best story they can with the time allotted. So if it's a speed film, then they are working as hard as they can to make the best story they can. Writing is rewriting, and so with a really short time frame like this, it's going to be stories that maybe lack a little polish, but for the most part, these guys are telling pretty good stories, especially at the upper end of the, you know, some of the best films. They're doing really good stories, and the teams that are in the finalist category for, you know, the signature speed films or alumni, Rite of Passage, documentary, Kid Did, and all that, they're making really good films. And, you know, most of them are really good stories, too. But, it's definitely the hardest part. I mean, you can find good actors, you can find good crew to make beautiful pictures and sound. But, practicing all aspects, including stories, is a really valuable thing. And, if you are an alumni of our competition, then you can find a story or use a story that you were wanting to tell for a long time and make it for the competition. We also started an open category this year for the first time. And we invited short films from wherever that were made whenever to come and enter. And that was a nice addition to our film festival. You know, gave us a bit more diversity from, you know, what we usually see. But still, it's in keeping with our content rules. There is no gratuities allowed. So we had a nice addition from the open films. And the winner of that category was an up-and-coming actor named Josh Murray, and his film Super actually won that category, and it was quite good, about a girl with cancer and her relationship with a homeless man, played by Josh himself. He wrote it. I think he wrote it. He produced and acted in it, so that was very exciting. But the most exciting new development that I can point to for 168, we've made in 15 years about 1,100 short films. So this year, we have raised the budget, and we are going to be producing our first feature-length film with one of the finalists from 168 this year. So one of our short filmmakers is becoming a feature filmmaker, and you know the way they've qualified is to make a great short film for the competition, or the winning screenwriter for our feature film script writing competition. And so the 9 finalists, and they will all pitch their script and their team, their budget, and just their plan for making a film. And we're going to pick the best one of those combinations, and we're shooting film. We don't know what it is. We have no script, and so but we're shooting in March, and it's a little crazy, but you know we're relying on Almighty God to deliver the great script and team. So we're not expecting to fail. But he never let us down in 15 years.
That is powerful. That's a powerful testimony. Tell me a little bit about. Tell me a little bit about your newest film, Unbridled. What kind of led you to, or what drew you into telling this particular story?
Well, the way it came about was some friends of mine in North Carolina whom had sponsored the 168 film project called me up looking for an actress, and they showed me the role, and I said, that's Tia McKay, and she's someone I knew from her really amazing performances with 168, and she'd been in several films, and most recently she was up for, you know, not a lot of nominations for supporting roles. And I'd seen enough of her to know that she could handle the role, but, you know, she'd never had a lead in a film, you know, feature film to date. So, you know, I recommended her, and, you know, they looked and they agreed, let's cast Tia because she's phenomenal. She's the redhead in the film, and people can see the teaser on Facebook on Unbridled Movie or unbridledmovie.com if they want to go to the web. And there's a 1.5-minute teaser. And you'll see Tia McKay. You'll see Eric Roberts, Julie Roberts' brother, who's a very famous actor. And T.C. Stallings is also in it. He's from War Room. And anyway, so they said, oh, by the way, do you want to direct the film? And I'm like, okay. You know, I read the script, liked it. And it deals with human trafficking, which it's an enormous problem in this world. You know, there are more slaves today than there have been at any other time, and it's disgusting, it's perverted, and really horrible. And, you know, I mean, if we can shine a light into that and just raise awareness by one person, you know, like whether they're police or emergency room doctors that can recognize something like this and possibly stop one person from being abused, you know, we will have done our job. And so you've got a girl who's being sold basically by Eric Roberts to his bosses and their cronies for a lot of money. And he's running the syndicate, and she's obviously profoundly affected by this, and she kind of acts out in class at school, and she gets outed, and the social worker comes, the detective comes, and the detective is T.C. Stallings, and he has girl who has been snatched by these traffickers. And so he has a special axe to grind. And so when he comes to arrest Eric Roberts for suspicion of sex trafficking, then rough him up a little bit, loses his position, but gets put on leave. And but he continues his investigation. And then Sarah, the star, TMK, she goes to foster care, and then she gets into a program where they use horses as therapy animals. And this is based on a true life place called Corral in Raleigh, North Carolina, where we shop. And so she starts to heal, and she meets this mysterious horse that nobody's ever been able to get near because, you know, he's got a similarly brutal journey to hers, just having been abused, and they form this bond, and she starts to heal, and, you know, she gets closer to the horse, and then Eric Roberts, who's been in prison, gets out and he wants her back. So it's kind of a thriller at the end, and just a victorious story over these forces of evil. So we're partnering with Salvation Army and a bunch of the warriors against this evil to, you know, roll this film out and offer it as an encouragement to people fighting this trafficking, and where appropriate, we're going to, you know, offer it to the victims too, because I know they'll be cheering the horse and the girl on as they fight this battle against their captor.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, am I correct in saying that this is based on a true story?
It is loosely based on a collection of stories from these girls from Corral that have been sex trafficked. They've been beaten, they've been abused, neglected, all kinds of just crazy stuff. And there's really an ensemble cast for the girls of what they call the herd. And this is the girls that are in therapy. So they get together in therapy and they talk about, you know, their relationships and how they're doing or not doing what they should via those relationships, vis-a-vis the relationships, and, you know, how the horses do sense, you know, if they're not right. Like, you know, if they're a ball of anxiety or fear or worry or hatred, whatever. The horses sense that, and they don't want to be around it. They won't come to you. They won't follow you. And that's something I've seen. And I've grown up with horses. I was riding from a very early age. And so this whole thing with, you know, working with horses on the film has been just like coming home for me. It's been kind of a dream come true.
Absolutely. Was it particularly arduous to create this film? Because I know that, you know, the whole subject of sex trafficking is a really, really touchy subject. I mean, and it rightly so. Was it hard for you as a filmmaker to create this film, just knowing, you know, the subject matter and everything?
No, it wasn't. The hardest part was the deadlines. I served as not just the director, but also script doctor on the film, fixing it where it was needed. And to get the script ready to shoot in such a short time window was really a lot of work in a very short time. Because, you know, the film had to push our production dates twice just because of, you know, script and weather and all kinds of things. So we were in danger of losing our actors, and that was really bad. So there was a lot of work that had to be done to get the script ready, to get everything, you know, in order, pre-production, so we wouldn't lose TC and Eric. And so that was some of the hardest part. You know, just arranging things on a low-budget film like this. You know, it's not like you can just throw money at the problem. You have to solve problems in a creative way. I called in a lot of my favors. And, you know, we used Airy Lighting, and they were very gracious with their help with the film. And we also used students from Regent University and to supplement our crew. That was fantastic. They had some really great people they sent. The hardest part in the filming of Unbridled was probably the weather. We shot in February and March, which is not ideal by any means, because that's, you know, just the end of winter and things are, you know, the weather is starting to change to spring. And so we had an ice storm that threatened to shut down production for 2 days. We had a tornado drill where we had to evacuate and go into a shelter. We had a lot of rain, which makes a lot of mud, which means the vehicles get stuck. And then I got the flu worse than I've had it in many years. I was like a basket case. But you know, that was not going to stop me from directing my first feature film all of the days. In fact, they would have had to pry that director's chair from my cold, dead hands. So that was some of the challenges. You know, you have to be creative on a low budget film, and you have to wear many hats too. So, but I'm really proud of what we did, and our cast and crew was great. We're in the distribution process now, and it should be hopefully hitting theaters in spring. And we're just getting actually in fall, maybe October. No, that's too early. In the next 6 months, you should see it in theaters. That's what I would say.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. So tell me, what aspect of filmmaking is it that you love the most? What is it that you love to do? Because I know that you wear many hats in the work that you do, and, you know, filmmaking is very much a part of your lifestyle and a part of your life. It's also your ministry. Tell me, what is it that you enjoy the most about filmmaking?
Production, without hesitation. I love being on set. It's a hyper reality because there's such an adrenaline rush, and you are doing superhuman things. You're praying every day. You're just getting it done, and you know, sometimes dealing with horrible setbacks too. And but you get it done, you prevail, and you know, then you have to deal with the come down off of something like that, because you have such an adrenaline, a large degree of adrenaline built up, and, you know, at some point that goes away. So anyone who does big events or productions is going to understand that, you know. It's like the baby is coming, the baby is born, the baby is gone, you know. And really the only solution to that, the fix, is to find another baby, you know. So you're always in that cycle of finding money, finding a story to tell, and getting it told.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, now, what is on the horizon for you just in terms of, like, your projects? Because I know, you know, Unbridled is something that
she said, you know, will be available very, very soon. And, you know, of course, you've got the work with Project with 168. Tell me a little bit about what can our listening audience expect from you in the months to come?
Well, I'm working on a lot of different projects, and not the least of them, of which is finding money. Everybody chasing money, and even Steven Spielberg. So that's an ongoing thing. The most immediate thing is going to be finishing up the distribution deal on Unbridled, which we're working on. And then I will be producing our first feature for one. We're calling it 8168 is the working title of the film. We don't have a script yet. We don't know who the production company is. But that'll become clear when they pitch their team and their story in late October, and then we will jump straight into pre-production. So, you know, I'm kind of wearing a lot of different hats as far as you know, producing the film, and it comes pretty natural as the directing, but the producing part. You know, I've been encouraging people to make films for 15 years with 168. So this is, in a lot of ways, it's easier because I'm not juggling, you know, 80, 90 teams. But we're just focusing on one and trying to get that story the very best it can be before we go and shoot. So we'll be producing the 8168 film, and that's basically I take off on 168, 8168. It's about a year in hours. And so 8,168 hours is about, you know, I think it's 340 days, basically. So that's about the time we expect to go from script to screen. And so there's that, and then I've been asked to direct a couple of new features that are coming up, you know, based on people seeing what I did with Unbridled. And so I've got a couple of offers on the table, and I've also been asked to do a rewrite on a script that is scheduled for production in the next 6 to 8 months. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy 2018, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Where can our listening audience find out more about you and find out about 168 Films?
Well, 168 is 168film.com, and they can find out all about the filmmaking competition, which happens in May, and the writing competition that happens in October. Great for beginning and intermediate writers and all writers, really, but it is a mentored competition, so it teaches you how to do it. And so 168film.com, and as far as Unbridled is concerned, unbridledmovie.com is the website, and you can go and sign up for perks, and you have t-shirts and DVDs that you can order there, and that'll tell you everything you need to know about the film as we know it. We don't have a distribution in place yet. We're evaluating offers, so unbridledmovie.com, or you can find us on Facebook, and I would love it if your listeners go to Facebook and like the page, keep involved that way. We've got the teaser up there. The teaser's been viewed about 500,000 times, and so we're real excited about, you know, the potential for audience there. And as I said, the film should be coming out in the next 6 months in theaters, and then video on demand and all the other markets.
Very nice, very nice. John, I love it. Thank you so much. I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to Thank you so much for coming on today's show, and I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Well, you know, I just would urge people to pray. I mean, pray for 168, pray for Unbridled Movie, for distribution. Just pray for the people that are, you know, trying to make the movie and film and TV industries a little better, you know. Because it's hard, and, you know, finding the money is very hard. If people want to support us, they can certainly go do that at 168film.com. And, you know, we're trying to change the world through probably the second most powerful force, you know, other than the gospel, stories, you know, film and TV. That's where the culture gets its collective conscious. And, you know, if we can affect just that part of our culture, we will be able to change the culture for the better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. 100%. John, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, very welcome.
Guys, that was film director John Lytle. He's available via video on demand and other platforms coming soon. We'll put the link to his website in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also available on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, go to the iTunes store, search for the Stitcher Smart Radio app. Download the app, search our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with John. We're also available in the Google Play Store. If you've got an Android device of any kind, you can download this show and listen to it in the Google Play Store just by going to Google Play, search music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. If you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can watch this interview right in the privacy of your own home. We've got over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge. Just go to the Roku channel store from your Roku player or your Roku television and search for our name. Download the app. Once you download the app, you'll be able to stream the episodes all free of charge. Lastly, if you've got a newer car, you know, a Chevy of any kind, you can listen to us in your car. We're available via the TuneIn app from your car's dashboard. Just go to the TuneIn app and search for our name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll be able to hear this interview while you're driving down the road, as well as many, many others, all free of charge.